B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Steak and Eggs?
The ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Kiss my ass twice.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
51575. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Meek Mill, who has become a friend, and, you know, ever since we played a small part in helping him get out of jail and where he was unfairly treated, in my opinion. Anyhow.
This is a rapper, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I assume you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that I... Yeah.
In any event.
In any event, he's a great guy, and... When we were privileged to win the Super Bowl, he took this off his neck. You can feel how heavy that is. And he gave it to me.
Getting hands on that thing, wow.
So
I assume those are not cubic zirconia.
These are real. And I actually felt a little guilty. But for the time being, he gave it to me at our after party. And it's just the guys on the team really think it's cool, and they like it. Matter of fact, all of them have said, when I'm tired of wearing it, they're happy to take it over. So I figure this is a fun celebration. It's not something, I don't wear jewelry, it's just, a couple of my sons are quite ambivalent about it. But I think it's, you know, how many times in life are we going to do this? It might never happen again. We should have a good time and celebrate this, and it's a wonderful thing that it brings a community together. We need more of that in today's world. Become a friend, and, you know, ever since we played a small part in helping him get out of jail and where he was unfairly treated, in my opinion. Anyhow.
This is a rapper, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I assume you're right.
Yeah.
RKK in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Meek Mill. I mean, you can feel the weight on this thing.
You know what one of my favorite stories involving Robert Kraft is? And we didn't ask him about it. We only had him on for, like, you know, 10 minutes or so. But does Putin still have his Super Bowl ring? Like, you heard that story, right?
Yeah.
So, like, Robert Kraft, and this was years upon years ago. I guess it was... Was it the first ring that he had, or was it the second one?
I don't know. This happened at least 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was during the first trilogy of ones that the team had won. And he was showing it to Putin, and Putin takes the ring, and he's like, wow, and just walks away with it. Just kept Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring.
That's cool with me, baby.
It's cool with me, and I'm just wondering if at any point he ended up getting it back. Maybe there was like a... You know, a nice little UPS package at the front.
I'm sure that I can do these things. You can do it. We can all do it.
I just love that he goes, is that a rapper?
That's what they tell me.
I'm assuming so.
I'm assuming so. It's the RKK. Like I said before, you know, I'm RKK, devastate the show. But I wouldn't survive without my radio, you know?
I'm telling you, one of these guys is going to get smart and have him guest on one of the tracks.
I'm sure he's been asked before.
I asked him that.
You would have to slow it. You would have to slow the beat way down. You know?
I don't know. Maybe he could, you know. What's that?
As of last year, Putin still had it.
He still has it, okay.
Still had it. It was in 2005, apparently. It was his 04 Super
Bitches
Bowl,
look at me like I'm a faker. They know well that I'm a heartbreaker. They got him crying for months because I'm going to, you know, make love to their best friends and do something to their, you know what I'm saying.
Yes. I can just imagine RKK's face being a lot like Charlie McAvoy when David Andrews just took his stick the other night and just walked away with it. He's like, huh? Well, hang on. What just happened?
Yeah.
Like, how did this get in your hands, and why are you walking away with it?
Yep. Yeah.
I am the Japanese Sammy from across the sea. I got all the girls are loving me. I am the Japanese Sammy, and I know I'm.
God bless. I
slay all suckers who perpetrate and lay down laws from state to state.
I want to rock right now. Robert Kraft and I came to get down.
Yeah. You got that right.
I'm the one who said, just grab him in the biscuits. Put the fake nose on him. It's like RKK, yeah. Humpty Hump.
Just trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, a diamond and nickel. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, I watched some of it. It's funny because we'll play some of it later on. But the mic'd up segment that was aired a couple of nights ago, the one that we had some of yesterday, was only about 15 minutes worth of stuff. And last night they had an entire hour-long special of it. And it is fascinating. Now, in years past, it's been extremely funny. You know, some of the stuff off the field, you know, with, you know, whenever Rob Gronkowski wins a championship, you're obviously going to get some great audio from that. But the most fascinating thing about all of it is kind of building on what we talked about yesterday, is just the drastic difference between Sean McVay and Bill Belichick. I mean, just like, and the editors who put this together did the best job juxtaposing one guy's attitude on one thing and then the other guy's attitude on the other. And it's not just to say one's right and one's wrong, but man, they are of two completely different mindsets.
Belichick's nuts.
I mean, it's,
he's nuts.
He's somewhat insane. I mean, the details that go through that guy's head and the things that bug him during a game are ridiculous. Whereas McVay is more of a cheerleader. And I know that a lot of players seem to like that, and they seem to like McVay. And
McVay's 33 years old, and you know, Belichick didn't light the world on fire in Cleveland, so I would give McVay a little bit of a break.
No, it's not slamming on McVay. It's just two completely different ways of coaching.
Right, and then you learn as you go on. The idea, of course Belichick's a better coach than McVay, and of course he's going to come off different.
No, but
and of course he's going to know how to manage the sideline different.
But it's the things that drive him crazy, like
right.
The little things that set off Bill Belichick that you just wouldn't even, I mean, think about.
What was Belichick doing at 33? He wasn't the defensive coordinator of the Giants.
I'll check it out. Yeah, he's had such a long career that you forget what it was like when he was just a kid. Well, 33 is not a kid, but you understand what I'm saying.
Was that Cleveland? Was he still in Cleveland at the time?
He wasn't a head coach at 33.
He was even there yet.
No, because McVay was the youngest head coach of all time.
That's right.
I don't even think he was defensive coordinator of the Giants when he was 33.
33 years ago is what? 1985?
No. 86. It's not 30. How is he 66?
Yeah, 33 years ago.
33 years ago.
86.
86, he was the defensive coordinator of the New York Giants.
All right, so he was the defensive coordinator.
That was for the Super Bowl team. Yep.
Yep. I knew how to hire that guy. He put it in a napkin. I don't want to be the coach of the Jets. What am I supposed to do? Tonight, this should be interesting from what I'm told. Patrice Bergeron in our show presents Pucks and Paddles, second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. And go to 98.5 The Sports Hub and get your general admission tickets for $50.
Yeah, this is a blast. I mean, you know, the minute they changed things, they changed the format from Cuts for Cause, and Cuts for Cause was fun. And it just, we had done it so many times. The players, you could tell by the end of it, a lot of them didn't want to have their hair cut, so they were kind of hesitant to be participants in it. And then once they got their hair cut, they would leave the stage. And there really wasn't a ton. I mean, we'd interview the players, and they would have fun with the people in the audience, but there wasn't a ton more than that for the attendees. This is a full-on bracketed ping-pong tournament, and it gets intense. And these players obviously take it personally, and I know at the very end of it, they had their own little mini tournament at the end where there was actual money that exchanged hands, which I thought was pretty interesting. And then you also get to see, you know, John Wallach put his skills on display and Mr. Mark Bertrand.
I lasted, 3-4 minutes? Corrali put me away quickly.
That. And hopefully they're not all tuckered out from blowing the game last night, so that will be interesting.
It's always, you always hope that they have a great game the day before Cuts for a Cause or Pucks and Paddles, so they're in a great mood. Yeah, this is going to be a weird one.
No, they had a very late night. from which they blew a 3-1 lead. I went to bed when it was 3-1, and I assumed that I was going to wake up to a Bruins win, but no, that's not the case.
But you know, that's what the Bruins do this year. They blow leads.
Especially
and
the
they lose to
weeks.
Bad teams.
Last few weeks have not been good. They get the first goal of the game frequently and then just have not been able to. Jack Edwards had a stat a couple of nights ago where the last 5 or 6 games they've taken a 1-0 lead and have not been able to make it 2-0.
Well, that's not good. But they will be there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And hopefully everyone will be cool.
Well, it's run
in terms of the way that it's run.
Since Patrice is the main guy in charge, the vibe of the whole thing is always one that's very fun and cordial. I mean, it's because he's the guy who's kind of running the show, and it takes the personality of him, which I like. I just want to make sure that we're able to actually get some beer from the back of the room since we're the ones running the event.
No.
Because there's some dude last year that was hired by the NHL to keep anyone outside
from what I'm
the
told,
players.
There's absolutely no way that's going to happen.
Well, then that's ridiculous because it's our event.
No. Nope.
We should get
that's
a beer.
That's not the way that it's looked upon now.
That it's our event?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I had to ask if my son's friend could come. And it was like up in the air.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I mean, in the end, he's going to be able to go.
No,
I mean, it's
well,
our event.
He's going or I'm not doing the event. Let's say that.
I would think we've kind of earned that right to bring a guest.
Well, considering
seeing that we started
considering
this.
Considering the team had little to nothing to do with this event getting started in the first place.
Sure, right. It was,
you would assume that we would have some sort of sway.
It was our show and Aaron Ward that got together and said, yes, let's do this, and it started off organically. And
right. They would not do this event if our show had never existed. So hopefully that is the attitude as we go in this evening. I have not the greatest amount of faith in that.
I have a feeling you will be pleasantly surprised, Fred.
You know what, Rich?
Mm-hmm.
If anything is pleasant, I'll be surprised. All right, so what is going on? What will we discuss?
Unfortunately, we do have to discuss that Bruins loss and trade deadline day. Get ready for nuttiness, possibly even during the show.
Ooh,
we shall see.
That would be nice. Mm-hmm. Here, we'll be right back.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Someone sent us a picture, Rich, of Jim Gray talking to Tom Brady after the Super Bowl. And he is just delighted. Oh, beyond anything.
Oh, it is. He's, what's the word? Smitten?
Oh, I mean, it goes beyond that. I mean, it's a euphoric experience from I put it up on my Instagram, at Fred Toucher.
Well, you saw the video of Jim Gray trying to talk to Belichick on the field after the game, and Belichick just stiff-arms him. And he comes in, and he's like, Bill. It's like Jaws. Bill, Tom, Bill. And he goes up to him, and Bill just goes, nope, and walks away.
Yeah, he doesn't want anything to do with that. But, Jim Gray, just he's staring at him with that big, stupid grin on his face. Good for him. All right, Rich. Not a good night last night for the Bruins.
No, an epic overtime leads to a questionable shootout loss.
David Krejci spinning back in his own zone. Grabs the puck, skips over the line. Stick handles into the slot. Forehand shoots wide. And the New York Rangers have come from behind and beaten the Boston Bruins here at Madison Square Garden 4-3 in the shootout.
All right, the Bruins have problems. Two of them specifically that need to be addressed right away. Number one, they continue to blow leads. In this case, it's a 2-goal lead that the Islanders erased in the third. And number two, the Rangers have to stop losing to teams that aren't even in the playoff race. The Bruins are now a gross 6-6-2 against Eastern Conference teams not currently in a playoff spot, including their 2 losses to the Rangers and an L at the hands of the Flyers. Even after blowing a lead, we got to see one of the best overtimes that we've seen this season. Halak absolutely standing on his head. There was that 2-minute stretch of back and forth that is exactly what the people who changed it to 3-on-3 imagined overtime
being. It was phenomenal to watch. Mm-hmm. It was almost worth staying up 3 hours to watch.
Yep.
It was that good.
I also think there's also something that makes me think every time Doc Emmerich does the play-by-play, things just seem more exciting anyway.
Yes, but so this sold itself. It didn't need Doc for this.
No, it was great.
Really good.
It was great. But then came the shootout. 7 players got their shot.
None of them named Patrice Bergeron. Solaric, McAvoy, Danton Heinen, yet not the guy with the second most goals in the team. Now, I'm no Don Cherry, but please, somebody, give me a good hockey reason why he's being left out of shootouts. I don't know. Honestly, does anybody have any idea why they're leaving you out of shootouts?
Did Krug go too? You mentioned McAvoy. I'm trying to remember.
I understand that you might have shootout specialists, but there you can't tell me that Bergeron is the eighth best guy for a shootout.
I mean, I say it all the time, but I've seen him in practice do shootout drills. They do them all the time. And he's apparent to me, the times I've seen it, he's the best. I mean, obviously, Cassidy would know better than I with something like that, but I mean, Bergeron's perfectly capable of doing it.
Well, maybe Cassidy can give us a little bit of something.
I mean, you never want to lose a lead. We did. And play the right way. You know, we get beat through the middle of the ice. Pretty nondescript play, to be honest with you. Veteran guys, young guys alike.
Honestly, right. we have tons of people who like to call in and say, you know, I'm a hockey coach and blah, 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 blah. Is there anybody who honestly can give me a legit reason?
I know hockey coaches.
We have all these experts calling in, like, I'm a hockey guy. Somebody explain to me.
No. Hockey's the one sport where everyone's very proud that they played.
and everyone says, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I would like to know, but that's honestly something. Is there a legit reason why you would not put him in? Obviously, there's a legitimate reason,
and someone who played hockey wouldn't know any more than anyone else.
Well, Bergeron himself was asked why he believes he was kept off the ice during the shootout, and his answer was, quote, it is what it is. A lot of good shooters out there, and he made some good saves. What else can I do? It's one of those things that you obviously do want to get that point, but I'm never going to say anything about that.
Here are your shootout participants for the Bruins. Peter Solaric, David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand. Those were the first three. So we don't have a winner. Marchand had to score just to get it to round four. After Marchand, McAvoy, DeBrusk, Heinen, Krejci.
Once again, I could see maybe Patrice not being one of your first couple of guys because there's like shootout specialists, but don't tell me that he's your eighth best. Don't tell me he should be that far down the list.
Doesn't sound like he was overly happy about the whole thing.
No, I mean, when you come out with it is what it is, a lot of good shooters out there, and he made some good saves. What else can I do? That's not like, hey, go team. And Bergeron, of anybody, is the most diplomatic guy on that team.
Yeah, that's like him saying F you.
right. Something that like bland definitely sounds coming out of his mouth.
Coming out of his mouth, that sounds concerning.
All right, well, it's weird. Just too many points left on the table over the last several weeks. Well, maybe some good karma will help right the ship, because next up for the Bees tonight, as Fred mentioned, pucks and paddles at the Royale, where the Bees will help raise money for the Tufts Floating Hospital for Children. I believe there's still a few general admission tickets left. It is a great event if you're a Bees fan. Unfortunately, if you are a friend of Fred's son, you might have a little bit of an issue getting in. But other than him, I hope to see everyone else there.
Well, you know, the 10-year-old takes up a lot of room.
Maybe they do. But here's a little bit more of Bergeron actually talking about the loss itself.
You know, it's unacceptable, especially, you know, up by two, heading to the third on the road. You gotta play a solid third, and obviously we didn't do that.
No, they did not. So hopefully they're not in a bad mood tonight. Hopefully they're all up and chipper and ready for the day. Well, now things are getting real for the LA Rams. As if losing in the Super Bowl and only scoring 3 points on the biggest stage in American sports isn't bad enough, now the media who dare criticize the team's performance are themselves being criticized for being too darn mean. The editor of the LA Times issued an apology yesterday for the headline that the paper ran the morning after the Rams lost the Super Bowl that simply said, quote, Lambs, not Rams. The reason for the apology? The editor thought it was just too darn harsh.
Yeah.
Here's what he wrote. Quote, to Rams fans who disliked
our... Go read the New York Post.
Well, of course.
The Daily News.
It said, to Rams fans who disliked our Section A, page one headline off the Super Bowl, in retrospect, not the best choices because it could, and in some cases definitely was, taken as a cheap shot. Team had a great season. And with that, the New York Post wrote a headline titled Ram It Where the Sun Don't Shine on top of a Photoshop of Bill Belichick taking a dump on Jared Goff's helmet.
And then they wrote the best headline of all time, Osama Bin Wanker.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Which I still own to this day. And I really should vacuum seal it, because all it's going to do is yellow.
Yeah.
It's in a trunk downstairs. And if you don't know, I'll repeat myself again. When they raided Osama bin Laden's lair and killed him, they found a bunch of pornography. So what the New York Post did is they had a picture that they superimposed of Osama bin Laden in a cave with porn on the TV, which they put a man and a woman
with a remote in his hand.
A remote in his hand, and then a stack of pornos and the table, and it said Osama bin Wankin, which is by far the greatest headline in the history of the world. Because think about that. Like, okay, you killed Osama bin Laden. I mean, he's responsible for the 9/11 attacks. You're in New York. All these things. And they're just, they're like, oh, he had porn.
That's the headline you go with.
I mean, it wasn't right after 9/11.
I'm sure it was like a couple days afterwards.
Yeah, it was some time afterwards. But nonetheless, Osama bin Wankin.
Well, what's even better is this LA Times thing. They linked a, quote, letters to the editor section where people openly objected to the mean criticism of their favorite football team for the last several months. Here's some examples. To the editor, to refer to the Rams as lambs in your Monday front page headline because they lost the Super Bowl on Sunday, a game that was tied with 7 minutes to play, is simply an act of meanness. The New England Patriots experience was obviously the difference. The Rams are a young team, and they were not trounced by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, if receiver Brandon Cooks had not dropped a pass in the end zone, the Rams would have tied the game with 3 minutes to go. The Super Bowl was a back-and-forth battle of great defensive teams, and more seasoned squad prevailed. To insult the Rams with a sophomoric headline was in poor taste.
Oh, my God.
And then there was this one that simply said, give the Rams a break. They had a stellar season and deserve a hearty round of applause.
It actually says that?
It does. It says
a hearty round of applause?
Mm-hmm. Yes. No one writes a newspaper that's under the age of 100.
With a young coach at the helm and an even younger quarterback in the pocket, backed up by superb professional athletes, the Rams won more games than all but one other team. They're much better prepared to lock horns next season. We love you, Rams.
Get it?
You're no
lock
Lambs.
Horns next season?
Oh, yeah.
This guy is great, huh? Yeah,
it's going to be the lock horns. The wife is going to come home, and the dude's going to be drunk, and she's going to hit him with a clothespin.
Like, do you know how many things that the lock horns in real life would have gotten arrested for if the comics were real life?
Well, Andy Capp is the best because he just gets wasted in every comic.
Got the little bubbles over his head.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Rob Gronkowski was on Jimmy Fallon last night as the teams continue to do the media rounds. And here he is in a clip, palling around with Mr. Fallon.
There was like five, you know, those nipple shots. There were like five of them were thrown at one time, and then there was like five beers coming at one time, and everyone on the duck boat juking them. We're getting good practicing for next season, like, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then next thing you know, I move back a little. I'm just chilling, looking, and poo, pop. You see that?
Yeah, you got cut?
Full beer can right to the face.
Look at this.
Ooh. I was bleeding all over on the parade, on the duck boat. Then my dad, you know, he's blocking all the next shots. You can see him. He's karate kicking a beer flying at me.
Dude, karate kicking a beer is pretty legendary.
Yes,
that's fantastic. The catch. You said somewhere that Julian Edelman told you in the huddle, said, hey, Gronk, we need a big play from you. A
couple times throughout the playoffs, actually, he just came up to me, looks at me, goes, Gronk, you know, let's go, baby. You're gonna get this catch, Rob. You're going to make a play for us. And I was like, oh, all right, Jules, I like that.
There's buzz everywhere that you're going to be like the next Hollywood action star. Karate kicking beers.
Practice?
Could be the next John Cena or, you know, going from sports to the big screen, Dwayne Johnson. Would you be up for that or not?
Well, first off, I got to see where I'm at, you know. Right after a season, you can't make a decision. It's so emotional, big win like that. You got to settle down. You got to see how your body responds.
You got to get back.
Oh, am I bruised?
Yeah.
I was supposed to come on your show Monday night.
Yeah, I know. I was like, dude, Rob, you don't do it. Take a nap, buddy.
I literally couldn't make
it. I was like, dude, no, Rob, take a nap. Come on, buddy. Come on, Rob. Because I deal with all booking, all the guests.
You're the guy behind all of it.
Yeah, I call all the guests individually and book them.
I was supposed to come on your show Monday night.
Yeah, I know. I was like, dude, Rob, you don't do this. Take a nap, buddy.
I literally couldn't make it. I was that bruised up. I mean, I took a quad shot right here, and, you know, it hurt. And those ones the next day are brutal. I'm telling you, they're brutal. And
it's such a tough.
I was supposed to come in Monday, but, you know, I had to delay it a little bit because.
Oh, it's such a tough. Such a tough, so tough. I know. It's just like a sketch where I try not to laugh and my face breaks.
I will say that Rob Gronkowski being wide open now about how much he's getting beaten up.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, over the past like couple of weeks, he has been as honest as it gets about just the beating and battering the dude.
And how much it hurts.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's such a I was supposed to come in Monday, but, you know, I had to delay it a little bit because, you know, when you're bruised up a little bit, your mindset sometimes isn't there all the way. But it's all good. I know how to bounce back. I know how to always do the recovery, all the treatments. Always come back stronger, man.
Dude, you're the best, man. Congratulations. We love you.
Dude, you're the best. You're a legend. The best.
I didn't see him get cut. Did you see the story about the guy who was in Julian Edelman's duck boat who got a beer can to the face, and now he has a scar that is honestly from like right where the widow's peak is down to his nose.
Yeah.
And it was Matthew Slater's wife, who's like a nurse or a doctor, who actually treated him, who bandaged him up, took like a Patriots flag wrapped around his head, and then cut the sleeve off his shirt and made like a tourniquet.
Wow. And then Slater said, "May I test your blood?" O negative. 10-4.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I didn't see anyone get nailed with it. A beer can got thrown out in the crowd, and I just reached my hand up and I caught it. I think it might have been.
Oh, well.
It was like, what was that movie with, who's the guy who was in the Gleam in the Cube? Christian Slater, where he catches the hockey puck and saves that girl's face?
Oh, well, I don't recall that film, but I'm sure.
It was a romantic film.
Gleaming the Cube, that's right. Yeah, well, yeah, he had to gleam the cube. He has to pump up the volume. All right, Rich, what else is coming up?
All right, let's get to the NBA trade deadline, where the action never sleeps. Woj bombs all throughout the night, and some new information about the Celtics and their pursuit of Anthony Davis.
Games are only half of it.
Matthew, loser.
Toucher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Very quickly, Bird, last night, he told me that he worked at Fenway and went home and passed out at 9. Dan, if you could put Bird on the mic. Bird, what was going on last night at Fenway?
They're just finishing touches on the ice thing. What's it called?
Crash.
No, don't just
crash ice.
Jesus,
John. My fault.
What's it called?
Crashed ice. Crushed ice. One or the other.
Okay. And what goes on?
They're just finishing up the touches on the construction and stuff. Basically, there's like a 50, 40-foot drop of ice, and they just skate around it. It's basically roll a ball on ice, and they kick the crap out of each other.
So they go down a big hill of ice and then start fighting?
Yeah, there's like turns and little bunny hills and stuff, yeah.
But they kick the crap out of each other?
Yeah, on the way down, yes.
Okay.
That's it.
I can't tell whether that's just it either. Like, I mean, I've watched videos of it, and it just looks like roller derby, but going down an ice hill.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is.
Okay. And it's just like first to finish wins?
Basically.
And if you just get knocked down or knocked out your ass out, then that's
yeah, they have doctors
sucks for you.
To fix you up, basically.
I can't tell if that's something that I would thoroughly enjoy, or I would watch one, maybe two, and then be, all right, I'm good.
Yeah.
I can't figure out which, like, whether or not that would be a good time.
I'll be there in person. I'll let you know Monday.
Okay. All right. But well said, Bird. Today is the day the players, fans, and John Wallach, they are constantly refreshing their Twitter feed, waiting for guys with names like Woj and Shams to drop a bomb in our lap, announcing a mega trade in the NBA that will change the league forever. But there is indeed one name being focused on more than all, and that, of course, is Anthony Davis. And the story has just gotten more fascinating as the days since Davis demanded a trade has gone on. Now, the latest news, however, is interesting regarding the Celtics and all this because, according to Adam Himmelsbach of The Globe, the Pelicans reached out to the Celtics this week to discuss the framework of a possible Davis deal, mostly to ensure that if they pass up on other offers, a.k.a. the Lakers, before Thursday's deadline, it would be for good reason. Now, he also writes the Pelicans have sought guarantees from the Celtics surrounding specific packages, but the Celtics have been reluctant to make absolute promises, simply because so much can transpire in the next 5 months, like injuries. But nevertheless, the Celtics have made it clear that they'll be ready and willing to offer an, quote, explosive package when the time arrives, and that no specific player will be off limits during the negotiations. On top of that, Boston is apparently, according to Himmelsbach, they've been undeterred by the narrative emerging from Davis's camp that if he is traded to the Celtics, he would not re-sign with them when he becomes a free agent in 2020. The belief is that once he and Irving are together, any unease that either of them had about the future would be washed away. So the one way that the Celtics could acquire Davis now would be by trading Irving first, but according to this guy's sources, they said they've made it clear to all teams that Irving is off limits. Fairly interesting. But
by the way, Danny Ainge on the show tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we thought we would move him from today to tomorrow because we wanted the trade deadline to come and go and be able to ask him questions about it.
He wouldn't be able to say anything today.
It's true. But one of the more amazing parts of all this regarding Anthony Davis is that the Pelicans might be purposefully doing an amazing job screwing over the Lakers for what they seem to believe was a clear case of tampering. So we know that the Lakers made their entire team available in offers for Anthony Davis, and the Pelicans haven't made any real counteroffers, which of course means that every person not named LeBron, their morale has dropped to an all-time low. And if you doubt that fact, the best evidence would be that the Lakers just suffered one of the worst losses in franchise history. Would they lose by like 41 points?
They lost
or something?
By 42 points in Indiana.
And
two
there's
nights
something
ago.
Like over the last 4 years, they've had this massive deficit in a loss seven times in their existence. Before that, it was six times.
Yeah, and also on top of that, you had players going to the line and them saying, LeBron's going to trade you.
Right, yeah.
And then what was the – who went up to the line there like, not worth trading?
No, I don't – hopefully it was Lonzo, but I doubt it.
There was another guy. I forget which one it was. Yeah. But the Pacers fans were excellent. Well, it turns out –
Lonzo got it to the line and all the ladies swooned.
Well, it turns out what the Pelicans – might be doing is by design. Brian Windhorst was on ESPN yesterday, and after he huffed and puffed and almost blew the desk down, he believes that the Pelicans, by drawing out negotiations and strategically leaking details to NBA insiders, that they have deliberately destabilized the Lakers and jacked with the team's internal chemistry as a giant FU.
Or it could be that the Lakers' offer, as we've discussed on this program, couldn't possibly come close to Anthony Davis. They laughed at it and said that's not even worth the counteroffer.
Okay, but I like...
Windhorst smells the rat.
But I do like this theory. I like the theory that because, you know, when this whole thing came out with Anthony Davis demanding a trade, the Pelicans released that statement that was very terse. Like, they seemed pissed, and they also said that they wanted the NBA to investigate any kind of tampering. So would you put it past them to have any offer that came for you to leak it out to the press so all of those players on the Lakers knew that their names were on the chopping block?
Well, Windhorst is an experienced trader. At lunch, he used to trade his apples for Ho-Ho's.
For Ho-Ho's? Well, why not? Well, yeah, so that is a fairly interesting theory that's in there. He said it's an information war going on behind the scenes across the NBA.
Okay.
I like it. I like it a lot. Now, one guy who does not seem happy about any kind of talk regarding free agencies and trade deadlines is Mr. Kevin Durant. Now, Kevin Durant has not spoken to the press for maybe like a week and a half.
I've been missing it.
After any games. And so finally yesterday he got to the podium.
Do you hear this, Fred?
I did not.
Okay.
Oh, man.
And here's what he had to say. First, before you play it, let me just say the point he's trying to make is a fine one. How he does it is just the epitome of a-holery.
All right, here we go.
So we've noticed that you hadn't talked for a while. Is it anything to do with anything on your mind, or has it just been coincidence that you haven't talked for some time?
Why do you care?
Because you'd usually talk.
Well, I didn't feel like talking the last couple of days.
It was anything in particular?
No, I just didn't feel like
it. Had anything to do with conversation about free agency?
I'm friends with Stedman. My wife's friends with Brady.
Yeah, that sounds like him a little bit.
Yeah, that's the conversation you're going to have. I don't think about that type of stuff. That's your job.
You've obviously been around the noise for so long. Is it bothering you more this year? Is it louder this year?
It's unnecessary. You got to do Ethan Strauss, who come in here and just give his whole opinion on stuff and make it seem like it's coming from me. And he just walk around here, don't talk to nobody, just walk in here and survey and then write something like that. And now y'all piling on me because I don't want to talk to y'all about that. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day, ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches, you rile up the fans about it. Y'all let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. grow up. Yeah, you grow up. Come on, bro. I come in here and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all?
We're talking.
So? Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking.
Kevin, the free agency thing really hadn't been that much of a discussion coming to you because we got it loud and clear, at least we most of us should have, that it was off limits. Don't
so
go
what's
there.
What's the problem now?
No, ask us or over there. Mm-hmm. Most of us anyway. Then he looks at the guy and says, not this guy. I'm on your side, buddy boy.
No, just that you've been quiet and you're not usually quiet. You usually share your opinions and stuff. So everybody's like trying to figure out what's going on. And we're all getting questions from fans like, what's wrong with Kevin? I just tell him he's playing okay, but he's not talking right now.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications, try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
Yeah, I mean, how are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
I just asked you.
Have a good night.
Yeah. You are a dick. You are, Nicholas. Imagine if you could string together a sentence like that. You have dick tendencies. Nicholas. Imagine if someone wanted to talk to you.
I get his point. And matter of fact, I agree with his point. Like, I can't do anything. Like, I'm just trying to play, and I have nothing to do with what's going on with the Knicks. You know, you can stop asking the questions. That part of it, 1,000,000%, I'm on Kevin Durant's side. But that whole who are you anyway? Why do I get to answer your questions? All right, a-hole, because it's your job.
You better not go to New York. He better not wind up in Chicago or New York or Philadelphia or anywhere.
Did you say
the media presence or here? Anywhere,
just
he's going to get eaten alive.
If Brooksy shows up, imagine this man. Is the new Tortorella Brooksy type situation.
This is just the latest in a long line of problems he's had, and this has really all come to light in what, the last 6 months. I mean, there's not a chance in hell he survives in a big media market. He better go back to Oklahoma City, because that any major media market's going to be the end of him.
He's been an a-hole ever since he went to the Golden State Warriors. Like, I don't know anybody who's done more of a 180 with their personality. Because remember when he was with Oklahoma City?
We have to break. We will be right back.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
I just keep thinking about that Kevin Durant thing we just played. And, I mean, do you remember when he was with Oklahoma City? He was, Mom, you're the real MVP. And he was kind of the NBA's, you know, he was the guy, the face. Everyone loved Kevin Durant.
He wore a backpack with a Bible in it, so he would never be away from the Bible.
But it was like, for all the people who LeBron had pissed off and didn't like what he did with the decision, you were like, all right, well, here's a real superstar. And you would look at Kevin Durant, look at how respectful he is. What, you know, this guy plays the game the right way. And the minute he goes to Golden State, not only does he just become an ass, but that's when the whole burner account things came up, where he was having all these fake accounts where he's fighting with people about his own stats online, and then he accidentally posted from his own account instead of the fake one, and then he got busted doing that, and he admitted that, yes, he was indeed using burner accounts, and he just became, like, ultra concerned about what people thought of him.
But maybe he's still upset that he couldn't do one bench press in the combine. Do you remember that?
I forgot about him.
Yeah, they do the thing. It's not a lot of weight. Yeah. Like, and he couldn't do one bench press at the combine.
I don't remember that.
Well, it's obviously hindered his career.
Well, he's long-limbed.
Yes,
it's very difficult. It's much more difficult to lift a lot of weight when you're long-limbed. That's why everyone's very impressed that I overcame my long arms to become what I am today, a quasi-power lifter.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, he used to carry a backpack around with the Bible in it, which was a little silly because he would never wanted to be away from the Bible. But yes, he was the golden child, and now he cherry picked championships. Now he has to live with that.
He knew he was going to turn into the bad guy. Anybody worth a damn advising him would say, "All right, Kevin, if you do this, all the stuff that you worked, all the energy you put into building this good guy character is going to disappear. It's a heel turn, right? And if you're going to do that willingly, you have to accept the fallout that comes with it." And he hasn't done that. I find that remarkable. He knew it was coming, and he can't handle it.
You're right. I can't think of a player in the NBA that is less suited to handle the New York media than him.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, that's Golden State, where people worship you. I mean, you are loved, revered, probably protected when you're at Golden State, and now you're going to go to the Knicks.
Well, you're not the biggest star in Golden State. I mean, you are not the biggest star in Golden State.
That's arguable.
No, it's
him
not
and
arguable. Steph Curry is a way, way bigger star than Kevin Durant. I mean, every kid has a Curry jersey. Every kid has a poster of Curry in their room.
Yeah, if you're doing jersey sales, and you're probably right.
No,
yeah,
and if I'm doing high profile, it's Curry. So my point is, he might be the best player on the team, obviously, but he's not. He's protected in that he's not the superstar of that team.
Sure. I mean, that's fair. But it is interesting because, I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, if he truly thinks that his ticket to showing the world, hey, look, I'm the man and I don't need this other team, is going to the Knicks, dude's going to get beaten down by life. He's going to be more miserable than any. I can't think of any player right now in the NBA that seems more emotionally fragile than Kevin Durant.
That's a tall order in the NBA.
Think about it, though. I can you think of one that just snaps off more than him and really cares about what people say about
him? Athlete who has no reason to be this way. I mean, he's won two championships. He was the reason that Golden State won his first year there. He outdueled LeBron James. There's no reason for him to be upset about any of this. Well, and maybe, he is constantly.
If you can't hook that weight up on the bench, you know, maybe you got a little bit of trouble. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines. Then we'll have some audio from the parade that young Nicholas got.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.